Yud Zayin Teves, Sunday the 30th of December, Rabbi Yoel Gold, the letter Dalet and the number 4.
So 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call from my dear friend, Rabbi Nachum David Saltzman in Manchester, inviting me to speak on Torah Way in Manchester, as it periodically does. So I said to him, I'm going to be on holiday in London. I'm sorry, I cannot do it. So the next thing I know, I get a phone call from Dodi Yitzko. It's asking me, when am I going to be in London?
No escape.
So I want to thank Rabbi Nachum David and Dodi for providing me with the opportunity to be Marbet Torah even on my holiday. And on this note, I also want to thank the organization Eshet Torah for bringing me to England in the first place and giving me the opportunity to be Marbet Torah on a daily basis to so many Yiddish and Neshamas. Okay, the name of the shiur is the letter Dalet and the number 4, and people are intrigued. People tell me it's not Chanukah, remember? What are you going to talk about? So I want to talk about the pasuk we all know. Very famous pasuk, we say it at least twice or three times a day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and everybody knows that the letter Dalet of the word Echad is bigger than the rest of the Yosius. There are many, many reasons in the Mefarshim why. But there's a very interesting Balaturim. The Balaturim says, because the Dalet is very similar looking to the Resh, and it can easily be confused. So Moshe Rabbeinu, to prevent confusion from Klal Yisrael, so people shouldn't read it Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Acher, he enlarged the Dalet to emphasize Echad. The Mefarshim explain with this Balaturim, a fascinating conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Yid did the Chet HaEgel, Hashem says to Moshe, he says, Leich, raid, kishichei samcho. Descend, go back to your people. The Mefarshim explain, raid is made up of Reish and Dalet. Hinting to Moshe, they confused the Dalet and the Reish. They did the Chet HaEgel, they read Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Acher. And similarly, when Moshe Rabbeinu reprimanded Klal Yisrael before they went into Eretz Yisrael, he also told them, "Ki dor tapuchos heima." They're a flippant generation. Dor is comprised of two letters, Dalet and Reish, hinting to the fact that they confused the Dalet and the Reish. They read Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Acher. They did the Chet HaEgel, and that's why the Torah enlarged the Dalet to ensure that no one will confuse the Dalet with the Reish, being that they're so similar looking. Now, this Balaturim is based on a Medrash Tanchuma, the first Medrash in Parashas Bereishis, enumerates several Oisiyas that can easily be confused. For example, there's a Ches and a Hey, very, very similar looking. Right? Just a drop of an indifference. Right? And sometimes if you confuse the Ches with a Hey, It doesn't just change the definition of a word. It completely defines it defines the word in a completely opposite way. For example, the pasuk Lois Chalalu Hashem Kachi, don't desecrate my holy name. If someone should confuse the Ches with a Hey, it would read Lois Halalu Hashem Kachi, which would have the exact opposite meaning. Don't desecrate my name means praise my name, right? Sanctify my name. And Lois Halalu Hashem Kachi is the exact opposite. Or, for example, another letter the Medrash gives that's easily confused is the Kaf and the Beis. The Kaf and the Beis look very, very similar. Just a drop of an indifference, that edge, that edges out behind the Kaf, that transforms the Kaf into a Beis. Right? So the Medrash says, sometimes if you exchange the Kaf with the Beis, it doesn't just change the definition. Again, it defines the word in a completely opposite way. For example, the pasuk Ein Kadosh Kashem. There's nobody as holy as Hashem. If you would confuse the Kaf with the Beis, it would mean Ein Kadosh Bashem, which is the exact opposite meaning. And similarly, Echad and Acher, the Dalet and the Reish, they look so similar. If one would confuse the Dalet and the Reish, it doesn't just change the definition, it defines the word in a completely opposite way. So the Kasha is, we don't find in the Pasuk of the Sechal L'Shem Kachi, for example, a large Ches. The Medrash says, it could just as easily be confused as the Dalet and the Reish. And the Medrash says that Zechala Shem Kachi is the posuk in which it would define the word in a completely opposite way, just like Echad and Acher. So why doesn't the Torah enlarge the Ches? Well, we don't find, for example, Ein Kadosh Kashem, that the Kaf is enlarged as well. And even if you'll come up with some chilek between the Kaf, the Ches, and the Dalad, telling me the Dalad and Resh is more susceptible to confusion, I have another kasha. Why dafka this Dalad? Is this Dalad more important than any other Dalad in the Torah? Surely not. So why dafka the Dalad of Shema Yisrael? Okay. I want to share with you a very beautiful answer. But before I do so, I want to first introduce a Gemara on Shabbos. Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Kof Dalet says like this, Kof Dalet Amud Aleph. Gemara says, Gemara darshans, all the names and the shapes of all the letters in the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet, Gimel Dalet. The Gemara goes through the entire process. All the Aleph Beis, every single ois, symbolizes a certain idea, which is expressed in the name of the letter, and sometimes even in the shape. Every ois symbolizes a certain idea. Let me give you an example. The 14th ois in the Aleph Beis is the letter Mem. Now the word Mem is very similar to Mayim. The name Mem comes from Mayim. What is the defining characteristic of water? Water is constantly flowing. It constantly moves. It changes from place to place. The Gemara says Torah is compared to water because Ma Mayim Yoyrid Mimokim Gevoyel Lamokim Namach goes down. So the Torah goes down to people that keep themselves humble, right? So Mayim is something which flows. It constantly changes. Another characteristic of water is that you can transform water very easily. You can transform water, it's not limited to any shape or form. Any kli you put it in, it takes the shape of the keli. It's transformable. It could be a gas, vapor. Sometimes it could be a liquid. Sometimes it could be a solid, ice. Change, transition, and transformation is the idea of Mayim. Mem symbolizes the idea of change. That's why every time a person changes a location in the Torah, you'll find the letter Mem is crucial. Mem, Vayetzi Yaakov, Nibbe'er Shava. It's the letter Mem which defines transition. Da, Me'ayin Boso. The Mem always means transition and change because Mayim always changes. The idea of Mem is expressed in the name of the letter Mayim. You know, even the number of Mem, the numerical value of Mem is 40. So many people think that the number is just a random number assigned to an ice. But really, even the numerical value of Mem is an expression numerically of the idea of Mem, which is change, transition, and transformation. That's why every time in the Torah you will find change, transition, and transformation, it'll always be synonymous with the number 40. For example, in Parshas Noach, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to change the world. He brought a mabul to transform the world. How long was the mabul? 40 days and 40 nights. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Egypt from Mitzrayim and led them to Eretz Yisrael, He transitioned them. How many years did it take in the Midbar? 40 years. When Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to transition the Torah from Shemayim to Eretz, how many days was he in Shemayim? 40 days. If somebody is impure, Tomei, and he wants to make himself pure, he goes into a mikvah of? 40 sa'ah. Arbon Yoyli, Tirz of Lad. 40 is always synonymous with change. As a matter of fact, in Rosh Chodesh Elul, right, how many days is there to change from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur? 40 days. How many days did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Yoina it's going to take to turn over Ninveh if they don't do tshuva and change? 40 days. 40, the number 40 is always synonymous with change, transition, and transformation, being that is the number of Mem, which is the idea of water. Ben Arbon LaBina. Bina is the medium through which you transform Chochmah into Das. Right? The Gemara says, Ein Adam Omer al Das Rabbi Ad Arbon Shana. So many ideas of 40 years. Rabbi Akiva lived 120 years. Every 40 years was another transition. The first 40 years he was a Roya, he was a shepherd. Then he transitioned, he became a Talmud. And the last 40 years he was a Rebbe. Every 40 is the number of transition, of change and transformation. I want to talk about the Dalit. What is the idea that the letter Dalit symbolizes? So we have to look at the name. What does Dalit mean? Everybody knows. Dalit means Dal, a poor person. Dalis. A few weeks ago we had, when Pari was describing his dream to Yosef, he said the Paris were Dalis Verois. They were poor looking. Poverty. A Dal is someone who's at a low point in his life. That's a Dal. That's Dalit. But if you look through Tanakh, you will find that we find the exact opposite meaning when it comes to the word Dalit. We said it this morning by Shachris. Dovra Melech says, Arimimcha Hashem kidilisoni. The root word is Dalit, and what does it mean? You've raised me. So does Dalit describe someone's low point in life? Does it mean poor? Or does it mean success? What does it mean? You can't have two opposite definitions. So Rabbi Avraham ben Agro, on that pasuk in Tehillim, Arimim Hashem kidilisoni, he asks this question, and he says, Dalit means something else. He says, Dalit is from the word dli, a bucket. Dalit is a bucket, dli, a bucket. He says, what is the nature of a bucket? What's a bucket used for? A bucket is usually lowered into the well, you wait until it's filled with water, and then you pull it back up. He says, Dalit can sometimes mean a low point and sometimes a high point. It's just two sides of the same coin. It's a bucket. The bucket is lowered for the sake of being lifted back up again. That's a dli. That's why the month of Shvat, by the way, which mazel, the sign of the zodiac for the month of Shvat, is a bucket, a dli. Why? Because in the month of Shvat, Shvat is the middle of Tkufas Teves. It's in the middle of the winter. Right? If you look around you on 14th of Shvat, you see everything is dead. There's no chance of any growth or any success. And suddenly there's a turning point. On Tu B'Shvat, the sap begins rising up in the tree, and suddenly you realize that the entire winter season that seemed so detrimental to any future growth was just there to facilitate growth. It was a part of the bigger picture. Right? And you realize that it was just a Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. That turning point happens in Tu B'Shvat, in the middle of Shvat. That's the idea symbolized by a bucket. A bucket means you lower something in for the sake of lifting it back up. And in Tu B'Shvat, that's where it's most emphasized. What is the idea of a resh? Let's talk about a resh. What is the idea of a resh? What does the word rush mean? Kamin ahead, that's with an aleph. Without an aleph, we don't spell resh with an aleph. Without an aleph, it means a poor person. Rush, the la rush ain koil. A rush has nothing. Dalit means poverty, and rush means poverty. You can't have two oisias symbolizing the same idea. But listen carefully to what Reb Chaim Vital writes. An amazing idea. He says, if you look at the shape of the Dalit, and you look at the shape of the Reish, you will notice that there's one tiny difference. There's the koitz, that edge, that edges out behind the Reish, transforming the Reish into a Dalit. He says, by the way, what's the numerical value of Dalit? 4. The numerical value of a Reish is 200. The difference is 196. The gematria of koitz. Koitz is 196. Kuv of tzaddik. The difference between the Dalit and the Reish is that koitz. So he says, that koitz, which eyes does it look like? It looks like a yod. Yud. He says the Yud symbolizes the Kaddish Baruch Hu. He says a person who looks at the Reish from a spiritual perspective, he has the Yud behind him, that transforms a hopeless situation, a Reish, which is Ein Koil, he's got nothing going for him. and transforms the situation into a dalet, which is the yoyis of hope, of rising back up again. It's that yud that's so critical to transform the resh, a hopeless situation, into a dalet. Amazing idea. So the resh is a letter of hopelessness. It's a rush, ein koil, and a dalet is in the bottom of the pit, but he's got hope. Why? Because he's got the yod behind him. When the Balaturim says that the Torah emphasizes the dalet of echad in Shema Yisrael, not to confuse dalet with resh, I don't think he's referring to the textual image and shape of the dalet. Otherwise, the ches and the hay look similar, the kaf and the beis look similar, and if dalet looks similar to resh, every other dalet in the Torah should have been stressed and emphasized. I think there's a deeper meaning here. The Baal HaTurim is referring to the idea and the concept of dalet and resh. We shouldn't confuse a hopeless situation and give up. We have to remember the yud behind the dalet. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind everything. And ultimately, it will lead to an aliyah. Why dafkin the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Why not in any other pasuk? Stress and emphasize another dalet. Because the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad talks about Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. The oneness of Hashem means that everything that happens, Hashem midas harachamim Elokeinu midas hadin, no matter what, Hashem Echad, it's all one source. It all comes from the same source. It all comes from Rachamim. We have to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about Rachamim. Echad, that's the Dalet of Echad. It's all one. That's symbolized by the Dalet of Echad. It's specifically and precisely in the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael that we emphasize the Dalet, because Shema Yisrael is that mitzvah of Emunah that we believe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem is Moira Midas Rachamim. Elokeinu is the Midas Adin. And interestingly, even the shame, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which symbolizes din, if you look at the root of Elokeinu, it's Kael. And Kael is the Shem Shel Racham. And Hashem, Hashem, Kael, Racham, V'chanon. That even the din is sourced, it's rooted into Rachamim. Everything is Rachamim. Hashem Echad, it's all Rachamim. And that's why it's precisely this Dalet, that the Torah emphasizes and stresses, not to confuse it with the concept and the symbol of a Reish, which is L'Rosh Ein Kael. Now talk about the number 4. We said before that the number expresses numerically the idea that the Ois symbolizes. Now if you think, on which Yontav do we celebrate the number 4 most on? Pesach. Arba L'Shoinah Shel Geula. There are 4 cups of wine. The 4 sons. The 4 questions. The 4 Kazesim of Matzah. Everything is 4. Why 4? The answer is because what happened on Pesach was we were mentes shari tumah. We were the bottom of the barrel. There was nowhere to go but back up again. The idea of a dalet is specifically expressed in Pesach. And that's why Pesach we celebrate the number 4 on. 4 is an expression numerically of the idea of dalet. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, right before he went out of Mitzrayim, he says, "Achodesh hazeh lechem reish chadashim." This is the Chodesh, the month, Rosh Chodesh. And Rashi says, Hareu Levana Bechidusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the beginning of the month, the way the moon looks like, and he says, Kezeh Re'ei V'Kadesh. This is how you sanctify the month, Mekadosh Dechodesh. What is the idea of Kiddush HaChodesh, and why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it dafka before Yetzias Mitzrayim? The idea of Kiddush HaChodesh is the idea of Dalet. What are we celebrating? What are we Mekadosh? The Levana, it goes through a process, a cycle, in which it's mamish, there's a full moon. You look out tonight, you see a full moon, Be'ez Hashem, it's not cloudy here. You see a full moon, right? And then suddenly it begins to diminish. And till it disappears. And you see, it's dark. It's dark. But then, you see this small sliver, this light in the sky, and you realize it's just a cycle. The whole process was, you read the Lutzarech Aliyah, that's the idea of a Dalet, and that's why Kiddush HaChodesh was given right before Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that is what's happening to Klal Yisrael. They might fall to Memphis Shaya Tumah, but it's only a Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. And in the Taryag Mitzvahs, which mitzvah, which number mitzvah is Kiddush HaChodesh? Fourth. Pru Revu, Bris Mila, Gid Anoshe, and Kiddush HaChodesh. It's a numerical expression of the dollar as well. Because the letter dollar and the number four symbolize Yerida. Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. My father-in-law, one of the most special people I know, he's one of the top eye surgeons in Los Angeles. And he shared with me the following insight about the eye. He said when the eye perceives an image, it perceives it upside down. Upside down. And then the brain goes through a process called perceptual adaptation, in which the brain reverses the image right side up. And very interesting, by the way, the parts of the brain that are responsible for perceptual adaptation are, from what I'm told, right over here and right over here, which is in between the Makom HaTefillin. When we say V'hoyle Tetofes Bein Enecho, these are not the Anayim, these distort our vision. It shows us the image upside down. The brain, the part of the brain which is responsible for vision, that's the part of the brain which is the Anayim, referred to in the Torah. V'hoyle Tetofes Bein Enecho is over here. So my question was, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the eye in such a way where it sees the image upside down, and then the brain has to reverse it and see it right side up? I mean, when you smell with your nose, does it smell in a roundabout way and then the brain has to sort things out? It doesn't. Nefesh HaChaim says, if one should study the physiology and the anatomy of the body deeply, one will gain insight in Anhagas Hashem, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. We say, Eina Hashem Elokecha, or Tiyana Aznecha Kashuvos, we think it's a mashal for Hashem, and we are the Nimshal, but it's really the other way around. The Kodesh Baruch Hu created us with Einayim, so we can understand and comprehend, to get an idea of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Einayim mean. A Kodesh Baruch Hu's the Nimshal, we're the mashal. So He created us in a way that if we study the physiology and the anatomy of the body, we can understand a little bit about Anhagas Hashem. So my question was, why did Kodesh Baruch Hu create the eye in a way where it reverses the image, and then the brain has to go through that process called perceptual adaptation, putting it into perspective, literally and figuratively. And I remember the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara says that there was one of the Amiram that had an NDE experience, a near-death experience, and he saw the next world, and when he was resuscitated, they asked him, "What did you see?" And he said four words, I saw an upside down world. What did you see? An upside down world. Amazing. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message is that many times we see life in an upside down way. We see things upside down. We have to use the brain, which is Torah, or Gedolei Yisrael, who are called Einei Ha'eda. They're the real Einayim. The Eina Eida, to put things into perspective, to reverse the image. But we can't rely on our Anayim, on our physical eyes. That doesn't show us the real picture. The Medrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a pasuk in Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu went on Har Sinai, Matan Torah, he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says he had to break through three barriers. Choshech, Onan, V'arofel, Asher Shamu Elokim. Asher Shamu Elokim, he had to break through three barriers. Darkness, clouds, and also thick fog. And the Swarm explained a beautiful idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the thickest of fogs. He's not in the Choshech, he's not in the Onan, he's in the Arofel, he's in the thickest of fogs. That's where you find the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In the situation in life where you feel it's a total Yerida, Mimamakim Kersicha Hashem, that's where Kodesh Baruch Hu is found. That's the message of Choshech Anan V'Arofel. So the Medrash says that that's also hinted in the eyes. Why? Because the eye has three barriers until you get to the pupil. There's the sclera, which is the white part of the eye. Then there's the iris, which is the color part of the eye. And then there's the pupil. And the Medrash says, which part of the eye is responsible for vision? The pupil. It says the pupil is the darkest part of the eye. It's the arofel. It's the darkest part of the eye. And that's where you see. That's from where you see. That's responsible for vision. Incredible. The physiology and anatomy of the eye is such, it teaches us that whatever we think is right side up is really upside down. And whatever we think is dark and can't produce vision is really the part of the eye that's responsible for vision. Why am I talking about the eye? Because we all know that besides the Dalet, there's another letter that's enlarged in the Shema, the Ayin. And I believe the message of the Ayin Dalet is put the Dalet into perspective. Ayin Dalet. Put the Dalet into perspective. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The mitzvah of Yichud Hashem is that even in the darkest of times, millions of people throughout the generations yelled the pasuk Shema Yisrael right before their death. Why precisely this pasuk? Because this pasuk is a declaration in our emun and Hashem that even if it's the darkest of times, we believe that it's Latzarech Ali, we believe there's another reason, perhaps we don't know yet. But that's that pasuk. And that's why the ayin and the dalet are both enlarged, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, put the ayin, I'm stressing and emphasizing, the ayin and the dalet, to put the dalet into perspective and understand that everything in life is yirida l'tzarech aliyah. Yashar koyach, thank you all for listening, and thank you for inviting me to speak. Yeah.